Well, good morning. It's Monday, November 28th, 2022. Well, today, more to consider on prayer, part two. In Thanksgiving just passed, we trust you enjoyed the day. And truly, we are all thankful to be vessels that overflow daily with praises and thankfulness to our God and Father and for His Son, Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is a beautiful day to bask in our blessings, and no matter our earthly circumstances, those vary from year to year. You know, we've had our highs and our lows, and I think that's pretty common among individuals. But, you know, we have the blessed hope of Christ's approaching return. When we step back and put all the to-dos on pause to peacefully anticipate upon our spiritual reality, we understand that we need every day of the year, and really more, to offer proper gratitude for God's great grace and for His divine love unto all. And what a tie-in this will be to our ongoing subject of prayer. And today, in part two, we'll look more at our word ateo. And probably next week we'll get to erateo. And ateo is to pray or ask in a matter-of-fact manner, because what we are asking for is already ours according to God's promises. It's ours for the claiming. It's there. Just ask me for it. It's there. So we'll begin in James chapter 1. And again, I think all the verses today are King James Version. The book of James opens with a very compassionately intimate exhortation to James' brethren who are living in godless countries. You know, they've been expelled from Jerusalem, but they're in godless countries, towns, villages, where those around them are idolaters. And we can relate to that somewhat. Aren't we traveling through this world where false gods are paraded before us every day of the week? You know, absolutely. And James is exhorting these scattered believers to be emotionally unresponsive to their surroundings, and meaning that they should estimate life according to God's wisdom. Like today, we're living within a time frame of worldwide instability, but we hold in our hearts, we hold in our minds, we are anchored in the hope of Christ's return. We have stability because the hope is our anchor. We do not have to be victimized or play a victim to a wobbly, shaky frame of mind, but rather we identify these times from God's viewpoint. You know, you hear what's going on in the world. Well, you know, the world has already told us it's bad, and the Word has already told us it's going to get worse. So, you know, that we want to look from God's viewpoint, and that includes exuding His nature of divine love, even to the unlovely. And that is how we withstand the various temptations to get swallowed up by the world around us. We know that God is not the tempter. He does not tempt us. But it is Satan who always comes along and throws up jack wrench and things, and he wants to test our fidelity, our integrity, our virtue. How steadfast is he or she? You know, the world is jam-packed with enticements that would lead us into a sinful life, very void of God's will and wisdom. Advertisements, they're everywhere, and they lure us through our five senses. They literally peddle the profane, and they expect us to be the buyers. And in James 4:7, it says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And in submitting ourselves to God, we resist the devil, and he gives up on us for a while. Now, he does come back from time to time to check us out. But our steadfast resistance to enticements You know what that does? It builds our patience. It builds our resilience. It builds our trust. It builds our integrity that we stood fast through the enticement. You know, we are the ones who, through our consistent choices, grow in patient endurance. And patience, the definition of that, is the serene characteristic of one who remains unswerved within their devotion and trust, even amidst the greatest of trials and sufferings. You know, James made it clear in the opening verses of chapter 1 that it is not God's will that we have lack in our lives, but especially there is no reason for a lack of his wisdom. So in verse 5 of James chapter 1, our word ateo, A-I-T-E-O, appears. And from our work last week, ateo indicates that what we are asking, they are promises. They've already been promised. Therefore, we can expect to receive them upon our request or at our respectful demand. We went over that. So verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. So to endure patiently and without want in this divided, unbridled world, God's wisdom is absolutely necessary. You can be street smart. You could have any amount of secular or even theological degrees for that matter. You could be known for your common sense, for your good judgment, but none of those will prevail against the ambushes of the enemy. He's smarter than all that. It takes the power of God in Christ to hold him where Christ put him. It's very matter of fact. Our part is to ask God for something that he has promised he will give. And in James 1:5, the wisdom of God is the thing promised. It is ours to ask for ourselves, and it is God's place to give liberally. Now, moving into verse 6, we see more instruction, a little more definition to this asking. And this really sets it as far as asking for these promises and asking in prayer, and particularly asking God. This word ateo, as I mentioned last week, it is used of people asking people, but we're talking about prayer. So we're looking at these qualities to lock in our minds truths that are helpful in our prayer life. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea with the wind and tossed. So this verse begins, but let him ask or demand in faith, nothing wavering. And faith, we see right here, it's a truly essential part of prayer. And faith is our recognition and our developed trust in the faithfulness of God. That's what faith is. You know, it's our recognition, our developed trust, because we do it again and again. We start out small, and boy, the benefits are great. We grow a little. We learn to walk. We learn to run, spiritually speaking. So faith is our recognition and our developed trust in the faithfulness of God to the point that we commit ourselves, I'm yours, Lord, take care of me, and all our matters to the care of him who is faithful. We don't take it back. We give it to Him. So I would like to read that one more time. Faith is our recognition and our developed trust in the faithfulness of God to the point that we commit ourselves and all our matters to the care of Him who is faithful. And that is why we read the context of some of these wonderful verses. You know, we want to mentally place ourselves into the situation God is addressing. What was going on? How does it relate to us? What was God's solution? And how do we get in on that? You know, it is our faith, our trust in God. And it's developed by our systematic building on the rock. On this rock, Christ Jesus, we construct a true relationship with God. And as we nourish our Christ-like manner of life, we grow in a lengthy history for weathering the storms of life. Verse 7 and 8 go on to tell us concerning the ones who waver and are tossed about on the seas of life. It says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Now, double-minded, that's a simple concept to grasp. It means to vacillate. And vacillate refers to one who indecisively wavers between different opinions or things that he should do or shouldn't do. You know, he or she becomes irresolute. We want to become resolute. But when we become indecisive, we second guess God, we do all these mental things, exercises, we become irresolute. And the synonyms are indecisive, hesitant, oscillating, or swaying. God instructs in James 4:8 that double-mindedness is fixed by purifying our hearts. You know, his word in our hearts builds a fortress against such assaults. And I might have said that wrong. It's James 4, chapter 4, verse 8. So, if we have that double-mindedness, we want to purify our hearts. Well, we know how to do that. We think the word. We look at the word. We meditate the word. We speak the word. We go to God in prayer and thank Him. "Search my heart, O Lord," like David did way back in Psalm 138 or 39, whichever it was. You know, we set our minds to the Word of God, to what He says about us, to who we are in Christ, to God's will for our future. You know, does God love me? Can I be forgiven? Can God really cleanse me from all of my unrighteous ways? And how about those accusations? Maybe I'm not even worthy. I have a lot of failures in my life. Or I'll just never be able to break the bad habits that I have. And you know, God's word is a proclamation of truth. It's the final word on every single one of those questions or accusations that I just read that are so common among men and women in this life. You know, Satan comes along, and this pun is intended, he works like the devil to reverse what we know God's desires for our life. And as long as we stay tuned into both dialogues, we're going to flounder. We're going to vacillate. We're going to be tossed like on waves. We become hesitant to walk out on what God says we can do. And as it says in Romans, when you think about things like that, you stagger at the promises of God. You stagger. We're like drunk men or women That's the ultimate outcome when we allow ourselves to be like a wave upon the sea. You know, that's the truth behind our word eteo. It's great insight for the demands upon the promises of God. Without faith in God's faithfulness, we just run around pounding our chest and saying words that fall flat before they even reach the heart of God. You know, we're just not looking. God doesn't honor bravado. He honors that heart that has learned to trust Him for all that we are, for all that we have, and for all that we do. It should be and it can be easy and enjoyable. We don't have to be researchers. What I share about different words, heaven's sakes, that's not the research I'm talking about. That's just doing studies and looking behind things and looking into things and watching the words develop a personality or a uniqueness that leads us in more understanding of the word. But, you know, we don't have to be researchers. There are some researchers, but not everybody is one. We do need to be studiers. We need to be meditators. We need to commune with God and lovingly labor to be obedient hearers and cheerful doers of His will. Then we can ateo all day long and receive what we are asking, and it will be to the glory of God. Our souls are anchored in the Lord Jesus. We are not driven by the winds that stir the waves upon the sea. So in our receiving the promises of God, this passage of Scripture helps us to embrace the concept of our heart's quality as we make those demands of His promises with this ateo prayer. Yes, we ask. That's true. We demand. But we do that in faith, nothing wavering. And I would like to repeat once again, faith, this is so simple. It's just the doing of it. It's just letting your heart go for God. Faith is our recognition and our developed trust in the faithfulness of God to the point that we commit ourselves and all of our matters to the care of Him who is faithful. So looking at another occurrence of ateo, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And starting in verse 16, this was Paul's most innermost desire for the lives of the believing ones. Starting in verse 16, that He, God, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So that has to be a spiritual understanding, because it passes all those things I spoke of early, the degrees, the common sense, the good logic. It passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, aiteo, or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Our gracious and loving Father of lights is able to do extraordinarily above all that we aiteo and think or even understand. We can only ask to the limit of our understanding, but God, who searches the heart, knows our heart, and is able to do beyond what we can even comprehend. And it's according to the virtues of the power working within us, built upon that faith. And it concludes in verse 21, unto him, unto God, be glory in the church. That's all of us. Let him be the glory among all of us by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Another usage of aiteo is in 1 John. And, you know, 1 John is commonly respected among worshipers as the fellowship epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Well, 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, aiteo, whatsoever we confidently demand in a respectful manner, where we are full of faith, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments. We do what? And whatsoever ye ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Keeping his commandments, trusting in him, our growing faith, strengthening faith in his faithfulness, being subject to Almighty God. This is the spiritual documentations for the heart's qualities behind our demanding the promises that God has assured us of. Now, these next two verses are going to blossom for you, because verses 14 and 15 say, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we aiteo anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, aiteo, we know that we have the petitions that we have aiteoed of him. So there's aiteo three times in these two verses. But see, it's all dependent. We have that confidence because we know the word. We know God's will. We have purified our hearts through the cleansing of the word. And so when we go to our Father, when we pray, and just look how beautiful this word affects all of our prayer life, that we can go to our Father and we can walk up to him and in our hearts, and we can aiteo anything according to his will. He hears us. And whatsoever we ask according to his will, we know that we have the petitions we demanded, we asked of him. You know, to me, these accuracies on asking and being confident that I will receive, they help my mind relax. And I just simply accept this truth from God. This is God's word. There's no other words to trump this. These are God's word. So hide them in your heart. Reread them, meditate them, think about them, and then say, mind, relax. Just accept this truth from God Almighty. He created the heavens and the earth. He painted the colors in the sky. He made the clouds, the trees, the mountains, the hills, the ravines, the rivers, the streams, the oceans, not to mention the outer space. He's the God of it all. And the confidence develops more and more as we exercise our faith. And it starts off as a grain something as small as a grain of mustard seed, but it can grow mighty. You know, the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 17:20, a man brought his child to be delivered of spirits that threw this little boy in the fire. And you can imagine this father, his heart for his son. And Jesus wasn't there at the moment, but the disciples were unable to cast the evil spirits from this small child. So when Jesus came and cast the spirits out, the father took his boy home healthy and well and sound of mind. And the disciple says, why were we unable to cast that spirit out from that child? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. I don't want to take that any further this time. And then in another record, Jesus' disciples asked him concerning the extent of forgiving a brother. How many times am I going to have to forgive this louse? He gives me trouble every day. Well, Jesus' response was so beyond what they could comprehend. And they said unto Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. But the Lord said in Luke 17:6, the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. There again we have that fellowship with God, that keeping of the commandments, that purifying of the heart. You shall ask what you will, because we're going to ask according to His will. So we can ask, when His will is our will, we can ask whatever we want because we're lined up. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus is saying, when you abide, when you remain in the qualities of faith, hope, and love, you can demand anything on the menu. Order it all. Order it all. It's yours. You will get it. And that, beloved ones, is the Word of God and the spoken words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we'll be about part 3 at our next get-together. There's a lot of things here that are good to think about over the week. So love and blessings to you all.